are the sponsor tonight.
Oh. She makes the coffee that keeps us going?
See, that sounded great.
It still needs some work, Jerry. I'm going to go make some coffee. I still think it sounded goofy.
High on a mountainside near the asylum in the ghost town of Jerome, Arizona, you are listening to Jerry and Kathy Wills.
You don't know why.
Comments and views expressed on the Jerry Wills Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect those of Jerry Wills, the Jerry Wills Show, the affiliates or sponsors, or Channel U.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us here on the Jerry Wills Show. We have a special broadcast for you this evening. It's open for everyone, to the public. And we do that from time to time. We also have, you know, regular programming in our members area. We have a few things coming up in there pretty soon. But for tonight, we have a guest who has been with us many times in the past. It's really extraordinary. If you haven't heard our next guest, you really should pay attention to everything you hear this evening. His name is William Stick Evers. He is an astrologer. He says he's not a psychic. And, well, you know, that is just fine by me, because he does the nuts and bolts in astrology and lets us know what he finds. Now, in the past, what's happened is that he's come on. There's no holds barred. And he tells us exactly what he sees and what he thinks. I like that, because it gives him free rein to really go into as much detail as he wants to without worrying about a commercial break, although we will have something in about an hour, just so we can go to the bathroom and get another cup of chaos. But he can just go into as much depth as he wants to go. He doesn't have to worry about talking about viruses, vaccinations, or what he thinks about them, because we're on Rumble and on my website, jerrywillshow.com. We're also broadcasting through our radio server, which is also free. And if you happen to be listening on that, thank you very much. If you wanted to listen on that and you can't see the picture, for some reason it's better, then just go to jerrywillshow.com and you'll see the player. It's easily found. Just scroll down and you'll see there's a player there. Just click it. It should be broadcasting. I'm looking at the meters right now. It's broadcasting just fine. It is in stereo, although this is just mono. But anyway, it's stereo. So we're going to go into a bit of a deep dive this evening. We're going to take a look into 2022 with William Stick Evers. Now, what I was telling you about before, all those times he's been on, why has he been on so many times? I'll tell you. It's because every time he's been on our show, everything he's had to say has come to pass. Now, that's uncanny. You have a lot of folks out there that are looking into the future, thinking about what could it be, and they're trying to make some kind of assessment based upon what their capabilities are, psychically or otherwise. But, ladies and gentlemen, when you have someone who's been right every damn time, it's a bit unnerving, because you don't know what you're going to hear from William next. Now, some people say, oh, it sounds like a lot of doom and gloom. Well, I got news for you folks. There's a lot of doom and gloom ahead for us. I just have a feeling. So don't let that be part of your feelings about this show. If you want to know what the hell is going to be coming up, this is where you should be, because you're going to find out. If it's not doom and gloom, then William will tell you. And like I say, he's been right every time. So before I waste any more time just, you know, talking away, let me just get everything situated here in the control studio and bring him on. William is joining us this evening from a remote location. and it's in video, living color. All righty, here we go. William, thank you for joining us. You are live.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for having me on the show again, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year. It's coming up.
Yes, and Happy New Year, because we're going to have one hell of a new year.
Yeah, well, I kind of felt that might be the case. Now, Kathy is monitoring the audio in the background here. So if I turn and look away, it's because of that. She's going to let me know if the levels are, perfect. All right, go ahead. What's that, Kat?
Yeah, well, we have a lot going on here. Certainly since we've last spoken in the summer, it just seems like a year has gone by, even though it's just been a few months. I mean, I think the last time I was on, what, in August?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. I mean, it was just, what has transpired just in such a short amount of time is just, you know, the new variant of COVID, rampant inflation now where it's undeniable. We've seen basically a collapse in leadership in the White House. We've seen the Fed lose control of what's going on with the markets. We're just seeing a number of increasing levels of social, political, economic, financial, cultural instability worldwide, although most of the action's happening here, but it is occurring worldwide. And this is just, again, a prelude to what I see coming, because it's very clear to me that what we've been discussing over the past year or so, I think I came on your show the first time about a year ago, correct?
Let me think about this. It was 2019. It was in the winter of 2019.
Right.
You were saying that there is something coming. We're looking at a situation as though it were the fall of Rome, because all the stars are in the same position. I'll never forget this. Right. And you said there's going to be a major event, but there's a black swan event ahead of that. And we had no idea what the black swan event might be. And I don't know if you know now or not, but everything you had to say has just come to pass.
Right. And well, that was certainly prior to COVID. And COVID, I would say, is at least the trigger to the black swan. You could look at the COVID pandemic as a black swan event, because nobody saw it coming. And nobody would have thought that we would be put in such a situation where we're being forced by these global vaccine mandates to compromise our biology. And along with all of the shuttering, shutdowns, and all the other restrictions being enforced and in place, and the compliancy, you see 50% of the American public basically complying to all of these authoritarian 1984 mandates. So if you look back in 2019 and what I said, you could probably say that the Black Swan event that would trigger a number of other black swan events to come was certainly the COVID pandemic.
Oh, very good. Well, you know, I kind of suspected that was the case. But we also had the election that was really, it was rigged. It was an insurrection on the United States, the way that it was handled. And you know, I was wondering if it might be that, but, you know, they kind of go hand in hand, because the election being robbed, screwed with like it was, it really allowed for COVID and all of these things to just expand outward at a very, very fast rate of speed. And that's why I was a bit, you know, uncertain if that was the black swan or if COVID was the black swan. And you know, it's kind of a tie in my mind, but what do you think?
I actually think they're all tied together, because we had a number of major events happening. The other thing was we had a total collapse of the economic system that followed within days of the announcement of a global pandemic, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
We had a negative 38% GDP breakdown that occurred within the first quarter of 2020. And as a result, they had to print 37 to 40% of all the money ever printed in the history of the world, the United States printed within that between September, between March 17th to present, 40% of all the money ever created, ever printed, ever injected was created over that period of time. And if you would have said to somebody, you know what, I see the Fed printing about, you know, $100 trillion or central banks around the world with the Fed leading the way, printing over $100 trillion and artificially injecting it into the economy and giving people worldwide stimmy checks where no one was allowed to declare bankruptcy. No one had to pay rent. Nobody had to default. Nobody could was being allowed to default on the mortgage, right? If you would have made a prediction like that, even if you're a world-class psychic, nobody would have believed it. That in itself is a black swan, where pension funds were not allowed to collapse. Mortgages, people's jobs, everyone worldwide was getting bailed out.
Wow. You know, now, it's reminiscent.
The ramifications of that is going to come and hit us hard next year in a few weeks.
All right. In what way? How's that going to take place?
Well, because they basically demonetized, they diluted the currency. They debased it completely. So what we're seeing is the early signs of rampant inflation. So the inflation rate, when we last spoke, Jerry, was, I believe, around 10%. Now it's 15.6%, according to Shadow Stats. When you calculate the rate of inflation using the system that the Federal Reserve employed from 1913 to the end of the Reagan administration, the current rate of CPI based on that rate until Bill Clinton began to change it, the Bill Clinton administration is not just Bill Clinton, but the when Clinton came in, they started stripping out food, fuel, housing costs. So if you use the original version, then we have 16% inflation right now, and it's escalating.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's 16% seems very conservative to me because we just went to the store. And do you know what a pound of coffee costs now? It's it was $8.99 a year ago. It is $16 now. That is 100% improvement or increase in cost, not improvement. But, you know, gasoline. I mean, this joker Biden put out this thing. Look, between these two dates, it was all in October, I think. So it mm-hmm. dropped 3 cents. Wow, that's supposed to be a big damn deal. But
Jerry, food and fuel is not part of the CPI since Bill Clinton took office, and even when Obama took office, they stripped more and more out of it. And they always report this 4 years after the fact. They don't report this proactively and say, we're going to take this out. You get the reports generally 2 to 4 years after they make that internal decision.
Okay.
So what I'm getting at here is you're absolutely right. I'm supporting what you're saying. So I'm giving the conservative number. But to give you an idea of what is really happening here is if you go back 20 years, exactly December, 20 years ago, gold was $280 an ounce.
Yeah.
If you use the current CPI rate of inflation, the way they used to do it, then $280 is equivalent to $1,780. $1,780. Right. What's the price of gold right now?
Well, I think the last I checked, it was 1817 or something just earlier today.
Right. It's about $1,800. So what it's showing here is that gold is completely matching the true rate of inflation. So
that's what
let
I
me
was
put
thinking.
That in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to put this in perspective. So let's just go back. Okay, so we know that $280 is equivalent to $1,785. That's pretty much around what the price of gold, give or take, has been in the fourth quarter of 2021, mm-hmm. around that range, $1,775 to $1,800. So has wages nationwide, even worldwide, kept up? Well, go back, December 2001, average wage in the United States was $22 an hour. 22, that's just average, straight across. So $22 an hour. How much would it have to be today to have the same purchasing power? How much would you need to get paid per hour today?
No idea.
Take a guess.
Take a guess. $40?
$40, right?
Yes.
$137. So if you use the same CPI, really? Yes, that's right. You need $137. So people need to be making $137 in order to have the same lifestyle, the same purchasing power
per hour
that they had 20 years ago, exactly this time 20 years ago. That is what the crux of the problem is. They're debasing the currency at a rate where they can inject plausible deniability that it's you, it's your problem. You're the reason. You're not good with money, right? You had more purchasing power. You were getting paid more for the same work you're doing now, right, 20 years ago. And this is happening everywhere. But they had plausible deniability. They had all different ways to get you to think it's you. You're the problem, not them. But starting 2022, the plausible deniability collapses completely. And that is the crisis. That is the crisis ahead, along with some other crises we're going to talk about tonight.
$137 per hour.
That's right. Just plug in the numbers inside of Shadow Stats, and that's using the old CPI. So that makes sense if someone says, well, yeah, you know, an ounce of gold 20 years ago
sure,
at $285 is equivalent to $1,785. Well, okay, right? And then you apply it to wages. Wages have not kept up. And even if they doubled the wages, by the time the recession turns into a depression, even $137 will not be enough. So we are heading towards a massive crisis. And this is supported. The astrology is supporting very much about what this term called the fourth turning, which is a generational theory, the fourth turning crisis, this reoccurring cycle that occurs between every 84 and 92 years in global history. We have these fourth turning crises. So it's correlating with exactly what this secular cycle that was discovered by William Strauss and Neil Powell, who were these global historians. They found these type of secular cycles. And what we're seeing now with the astrology is the fact that we've got these massive planetary alignments. The last time they occurred was during the collapse of the medieval era and the beginning of the Renaissance. So that era during the Black Death. And we saw a very similar cycle in the 1930s into World War II. And we're seeing that cycle play out again. So it's a convergence of a larger cycle. If you go back exactly around the time of the collapse of the European feudal system, which was triggered by what? A pandemic.
That's right.
A pandemic was triggered, which collapsed the system, resulting in a renaissance and a complete restructuring of the entire global economic system and political system that came out of that. So we're seeing that. That's the larger cycle. And then within that larger cycle is this fourth turning crisis that occurs every 84 to 92 year period. So it's not exact. It's about 84 years on average, but it ranges about 84 to 92 years. And when that happens, we have a 20-year period of crisis. So if you do the math, the crisis started around 2008 and will peak sometime between now and 2028. And wow. I believe that peak intensity, third act, starts on February 20th. Actually, it starts now, but we're going to certainly be in it. We're going to be in the eye of the storm starting February 20th, 2022 during the USA Pluto return. That is the key thing that many astrologers don't want to talk about. It's the Pluto return that correlates with this, or converging with this fourth turning crisis.
Well, I you know, we've talked about Pluto return before, and my experience with that was exceedingly unpleasant. It destroys everything, but then it rebuilds everything.
Correct. Absolutely correct, Jerry. But we have to keep in mind that there was another empire, there was another republic that was not around 250 years, but 800 years that went through its Pluto return. So these Pluto returns, by the way, happen every 247 years, 247, 250 years. So within that range. So 247 based on the current trajectory of how we can map the movement of Pluto, which we discovered that back in the 1930s. Actually, 1930, Pluto was discovered. So based on the orbital path, we're going through a Pluto return starting February. We're already within a few degrees of exactitude. And the last time we saw that happen to a republic that was around 200 plus years was the Roman Republic. And the Roman Republic went through a political crisis that resulted in the emergence of the empire. It went from a republic into an empire during that 20-year period. During that 20-year period. So it went through its own fourth turning crisis.
A republic to an empire. Explain that.
Well, I mean, back the Roman Republic in very many ways was very similar to the United States. They had elected judges, they had elected senators, they had elected officials, right? They had a president of the Senate who acted in a way as a U.S. president would, to a certain degree. I mean, it certainly was really a democracy. It was certainly the first democratic republic on a large scale, right? So what happened was, is it went through its Pluto return. And when the Pluto return happened, the republic began to have a series of external and internal existential crises that resulted in both a political crisis, a military crisis, and the underpinnings to both of those was a deeper, longer economic crisis that the republic did not proactively deal with. And that had to do with the fact that their currency was the currency was being debased in order to maintain the facade of political unity. So it created a series of revolution. It was a revolution. It was a civil war / revolution, which, when the dust settled, resulted in the emergence of the first emperor, right? Who basically consolidates his power. He unifies all the breakaway provinces, breakaway, like certain vassal states of the Roman Republic began to break away, and he comes to power. And through that, he basically solves the problem and unifies it and restructures the economy. And as a result, the empire flourished for 247 years following that. That resulted in the second Pluto return, which is exactly what the Roman Empire went through. And when the second Pluto return, in other words, the Roman Republic became an empire, and then 247 years, Rome basically conquered all of Western Europe, most of the Middle East, all of North Africa. It was the supreme power on the planet. And then what happens is it went through its Pluto return, the Roman Empire Pluto return, resulting in what? It resulted in a crisis that became an imperial crisis, that became the crisis of the third century. In fact, this crisis infected other empires outside of the Roman province. So it was systemic. And it created political instability, because the empire maintained the facade of a republic. It maintained the facade saying, this is a republic, right? When it really wasn't. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
So we're going to see political instability. You're going to see, and the other thing that was happening while the Roman Empire, just prior to the crisis, a series of emperors got killed. They've got assassinated by their own Praetorian guards, by the very power, the Praetorian Guard was like the equivalent of the CIA, the intelligence, the intelligence agencies, right? Or the Department of Defense. So they were all intertwined. And this is the first time we see one emperor after the next being assassinated. And at the same time, because the budgets were so big and it created political instability due to inefficient and punitive tax collection and unorganized budgeting. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And, right, what we're seeing here, what we see is that there was a decline of democracy within the empire, where the Congress, the Roman Senate, which was equivalent to our Congress in many ways, ceased to be an instrument of government. In other words, there was complete loss of credibility, and there was increasing raids or invasions on the border by foreign countries on the frontier of the empire. Illegal mass, large-scale immigrations penetrating into their border, and they lost control of it. They started losing control, I should say. So you see military instability. Also, they had a military instability by a growing existential threat by the Germanic tribes, by the Goths, by the Vandals, by the Visigoths, by the Alemanni, and most importantly, by the Persian Empire.
Right.
So like this emerging empire that said, we're going to take you on. We don't sweat you, Rome. We see you're in a crisis. Sound familiar?
It all does.
Sound familiar with what's... Yeah. So this, look. You could see the Platonian issues, the Platonian... Titanic forces that are in play that's affecting this country, and what happens to this country is going to affect the whole world. And we go into the exact return, Jerry, in February. This is when it goes, we hit the zero point. We cross the Rubicon. So we're going to just see more and more of this play out. And the currency during that time, during that Pluto return for the empire, the denarius, in terms of purchasing power, they went from somewhere about, you know, around 7-8% inflation to 88% inflation, hyperinflation, within exactly around the time that Pluto went exact. So that's the bigger issue. And so there's a death, destruction, and resurrection process of Pluto that's at play with nearly everything in every sector, including our culture. Look, cancel culture, for instance. That's very Platonian. There was cancel culture going on inside of the Roman Republic, that event that became a Roman Empire. So the Roman Republic, right, cancel culture resulted, was part of the reason the empire emerged.
Right. I see. Wow. I mean, this is just uncanny. And of course, if you don't know history, you wouldn't know this. And it's true, those who don't pay attention to what happened in the past are doomed to relive it in the future. And it sounds like that future is coming at us hard and fast. So the date, again, that you said, astrologically, when this goes...
It's February 20th.
February 20th. All right. And what time of day? Is that important?
Yeah, I could get that for you, I think...
Well, I don't even know if it's important. I'm just curious. I'm asking curious questions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... let's see if I can pull it up here. Yeah, so the Pluto return, February 20th, 2022, 7:04 a.m., Washington, D.C.
That's kind of the reason why I was asking, because I was thinking, you know, news comes out of Washington at about 8 and 7:04 a.m., you know, tick, 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 tick. Next big announcement. You know as well as I do, we've been living through some of the strangest shit that I have ever experienced in my life. I would never have believed any of these things could be possible, that any of these things would have happened. And here we are. I mean, it's like our lives have just been turned upside down. And from what you're saying, it sounds a lot like it's just a prelude, what we've experienced now. So what is it that is ahead for what you see?
Where do we begin? I mean,
yeah, I know it's a big story, right?
Yeah. Well, the good news is I see a major political upheaval resulting in an electoral earthquake come the midterm next year. So we're going to see blue districts in California. This is a big prediction now. And in New York, flip red for the first time in, let's say, since Reagan.
All right.
So that's going to be a big sign that people, that's going to be the first moment where we'll see a paraplectic shock in the body politic of the United States. Now, that's also going to happen in Italy, in France. We're going to see a collision of a radical social progressive body politic collide with this populist segment of the population. Is going to be a perfect titanic collision of both those forces simultaneously. And this all represents the changing world order. The other bigger issue outside, if we look at it from like a 50,000 foot viewpoint, from a macro viewpoint, is we're dealing with a changing world order. So there's a number of things that's taking place here. So a lot of people, you know, have really no understanding of what inflation means. I gave an example of it. And people are going, yeah, that's me. You know, I only make $31 an hour and I'm broke and I'm getting more broke no matter how hard I work, right?
Well,
I've got $300,000 in my retirement, right, in cash. And I can't afford to even spend that. I'm not going to make it to 85 years old with that much money, right?
By what you were saying just a bit ago, $137 is what the hourly wage should be. Making correct. $30 an hour, they're losing $100 an hour in purchasing power.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So people 20 years ago who were middle class are only middle class by name only.
Right.
So now this is happening worldwide, Jerry, but it's much worse around the world because the United States can export all its dollars. The biggest thing the United States exports is its dollars. It creates all this money and it injects it all over the world, besides into the central banks, besides into the commercial banks that just basically buy corporate bonds in order to keep the stock market. So they, you know, without getting into the minutiae of it all, essentially they inject all this money and then other countries have to use the U.S. dollar for trade and for the purchase of petroleum. So all forms of trade, all core central bank assets have to be in dollars and all purchase of petroleum worldwide have to be in dollars. So we export our dollars. Now, if our inflation, let's say, is 15%, that means they have to swap their money for U.S. dollars. And that actually creates more inflation for them. So the inflation rate, for instance, in Brazil is 22%. The inflation rate in Turkey is 67%. And it will continue to grow. And look, when you reach hyperinflation, when you get to the point of 50% or higher, governments collapse. However, I would argue we don't need to wait to 50%. I think if we get 30% inflation in the United States, the government's going to collapse. We don't need to hit, you know, 50%. So we're already seeing it now. The Turkish lira collapsed. Turkey is about to undergo a revolution. They are collapsing. This collapse is going to start spreading. The ones with the weakest currencies are going to spread first. So they're the ones that are going to collapse first. And we will collapse last simply because we have the world reserve currency. We have these 0% interest rates, you know, with the creation of a lot of debt and a lot of money printing to finance all that debt. That will happen. That will all begin to collapse. It's already begun to collapse, Jerry. But first, you're going to see it in Turkey. And once it happens, it will spread like COVID. It will spread everywhere. You'll see it in Argentina. You'll see it in other countries at first. And we'll think, oh, that happened to them. Can't happen to us. It's coming, folks. It's coming. So we have that issue. That's part of the changing world order. We have an internal conflict with the left and the right. You have people now who are listening saying, this guy's an idiot. What's he talking about? Everything is fine. Biden is fixing it. Kamala Harris has this. Let me tell you. And then the other half, right, who totally agree and say, hey, William, I think you're playing it down. I think it's much worse than you're saying. Well, it's true, but I can't really say that, right? And we have a conflict between the left and right, rich and poor, between the millennials and the baby boomers, between Democrats and Republicans, which is producing a level of conflict, Pluto, titanic conflict, right? Since we're going to have the highest level of titanic levels of conflict since the Civil War. And then there's tax implications, right? We have this anti-capitalist socialist swing underway that's affecting and will affect the Biden tax policy before Kamala Harris is finished, right? Before she leaves office. And this tax policy where people live and how they are with each other is all part of it. And then the other so that's the internal issues. And then the external issue is the rise of a great power challenge to the existing world order that was established during Bretton Woods and the post-1945 world after the Axis powers were defeated. That was established by the United States. The United States became the world reserve currency, the protector and defender of democracy. It established the Soviet containment strategy, right? So that existing world order that started in 45 is collapsing. And now China and Russia, as it's, you know, so if China's Batman, Russia is Robin, to challenge the United States global hegemon, and not only challenge it, but to make us irrelevant in the new world order that they are going to define going forward. So it's either we back down, back off, right? Sent into the sunset like Trump. I mean, that's what everyone believes. Trump's disappeared, right? Or we have to take that on. And Pluto is not about backing down. It's not about backing down. But the problem is we don't have, we have too many internal issues where we, right? That is going to make this very, very difficult. So, you know, people would say no system of government, no economic system, no currency, no empire lasts forever.
Sure.
And that's why everyone is almost always surprised, especially the historians or the futurists or the astrologers who should know better, but didn't see it coming. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. We are beyond the point my professional opinion, and I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've been in the real world for a long time. I worked outside in the real world before I became a full-time consulting astrologer, that we are beyond the point of just fixing this by voting D or R, right? Or, you know, I think we are in the midst of revolution right now. And it's not just an American revolution. This is a global revolution. And that's also what the Pluto is about.
Wow. I want to back up for a second on something you said a moment ago, because my head is spinning, and I'm sure everyone listening is too, but this is just for me. Maybe someone else caught it. You had said that our inflation at 15%, people in other countries buying our dollars, it deflates, it inflates their currency. Their currency already has a built-in inflation rate. Am I right about that?
Correct.
So then our added inflation rate onto their currency compounds that problem.
Correct.
Okay. That was the question that I had, because
so you could see why, Jerry, if we're going through the Pluto return and our currency is being debased faster and faster and faster in order to prop up the assets for the 1%, because remember, right, the 1% own 87% of the stock market.
Right.
That's right. They own 87% of the market. So that's why it's being propped up. Because of that, that will destabilize the currencies worldwide as a result. And that will eventually set off a daisy chain of debt defaults due to inflation and deflation, which is the bigger problem, that's colliding at the same time.
I would call it a crazy train instead of a daisy chain.
Okay, yeah. A crazy train, yeah.
Yeah, a little Ozzy Osbourne in there.
Yeah, so we're going to see that. Look, there was just a recent survey where young Americans placed the chances that they will see a second civil war in their lifetime at 35%. And a chance that at least one state will succeed from the union, about 25%. This is from young people, not baby boomers from Texas who keep telling me, William, you don't get it. We're breaking away, right? And I'm saying that's what happened during the Roman Empire. Gaul, which was France, modern-day France, which was part of the empire, by the way, said, we're breaking away. We don't want any part of this. We can make our own money. And they did for a short time until Octavian, who became Caesar Augustus, said, oh, yeah, we're going to fix that, right? So this is the situation we're moving towards. We're going to start seeing states break away, and we're going to see provinces in Spain and other parts are saying, we don't want any part of this European Union. You can't force these vaccine mandates on us. You know, they're making it law in the entire European Union.
I know.
You must be vaccinated. Children, too.
Yeah.
Or they will stop any subsidization. You will not be able to get your license renewed. You will not be able to have a passport, all that stuff. This is already happening, folks.
It is.
They're going to bring it here to you. That's the Pluto return.
Well, you know what else is happening? I just was shocked when I saw this about an hour before. It's one of the reasons why it took me a couple extra minutes to set things up. I was reading this article. In New Zealand, they have now passed a law that if you have COVID and you're uncomfortable, you can have doctor-assisted euthanasia. Just because you're unhappy with it is enough. And right. The people in New Zealand are looking at this and going, wait a second. The next iteration of this is a doctor, while you're unconscious, saying they have no quality of life, let's just off them. Right. So there's going to be, you know, a big stink about this, but this is the next act in this crazy ass circus. This is unholy circus that is taking place worldwide. And, I see that coming to a country near you, basically, is how I'm feeling about it.
I totally agree.
It's very scary stuff.
Right. So the other things I'm predicting is a global energy crisis. We're seeing that happen in Europe, where there's an energy crisis in Europe right now. Global climate change crisis. I'm not talking about global warming. I'm talking about extreme change and shifts in climate. We're going to have extreme heat, extreme cold. We're going to have extreme storms. We're going to have like record-breaking tsunami, record-breaking earthquake, record-breaking number of volcanoes, record-breaking this, record-breaking that. Pandemic crisis. When I say pandemic, I'm not particularly just limiting it to COVID. Global refugee crisis. We're going to see massive diaspora. And when I also see that happening where like 1% of the New York population and 1% of the California population in just 12 months alone left those states to move to Arizona, Nevada, Florida, etc.
Right.
We're going to see that increase. Okay.
Yeah.
Global labor. Go ahead.
I have spoken to so many people. So I have clients all over the world. And of course, in places like New York, California, some of these Democrat states. And you know, what I'm hearing from them is that, you know, they don't want this race theory taught to their kids. They don't want to be hammered down with masks and mandates to get a vaccine, or you can't do a damn thing. They don't want any of that. And they're trying to either sell their home or they're just going to walk away from their home because they really can't afford it any longer anyway. I'm hearing some of the most, how do you even categorize the stories I'm hearing? They are stories that just make me sit back and stop breathing for a second, because it's just insane. How on earth could this possibly be happening? And yet here it is. It is happening. It's just mind-boggling, William.
Well, look, we're in Tales of the Bizarro world.
We are.
A world where situations and systems become weirdly inverted or develop opposite of common expectations, where the past trends no longer equal future events, where the past no longer equals the future, where all secular systems begin to fail or to predict probable outcomes. That's what we're going into. We're already there with it, but it gets more intense, more accelerated, and a plausible deniability collapses completely. And I think between February and November, we're going to hit that breaking point, but they won't be talking about it. You will not hear about it. The breakdown, the paraplectic collective breakdown, is not going to be televised, Jerry.
No.
You'll be talking about it. People will call you, Jerry, I need relief. What can I do? But it will not ever get out on TV. They'll start taking people down on the internet. Look, I believe just taking you off of Twitter is just the beginning. They need to keep the plausible deniability, to keep the confidence in the system, so you keep your money in what? Dollars in the bank. I'm seeing that also being part of the death destruction process, that the commercial banking system is going to go through a death event starting next year. And a lot of people are just unfortunately resistant. I mean, Jerry, back in 2019, Bitcoin was less than what, $3,000?
It was about $2,300, I remember, because you told me to buy it.
Right, $2,300. Now it's $50,000. I think when we last spoke, it was under $30,000.
Yeah, it was.
I think at the, right. So look, the revolution is this. Everybody in the world who's getting hit by inflation, which is happening rampant, they're moving their money, not to gold, not to silver. Everyone is moving to Bitcoin. Within 12 months, 1 billion people worldwide will have a Bitcoin wallet. That is the other revolution. Bitcoin is going to galvanize this global revolution the way LSD galvanized the countercultural revolution in the 1960s. That is the other big thing, because the global bond crisis, the global monetary crisis, the global transport supply chain crisis is only going to accelerate and intensify. And we're going to have a global food crisis aided and abetted by the inflation. So what is everyone going to do? Keep their money in the bank? No, you need to move your money now, folks.
Before February. Wait.
Right. You need to get orange pilled.
Yeah.
You've got to, well, look, I mean, you could, it's like how much more purchasing power. I mean, Jerry, I'm going to make an announcement here. I made a decision this week. I looked at the price of gold. And how much? I said, well, gold makes inflation. So if you want to hold your purchasing power, put it in gold. But I know it's not going to be enough. So I've decided to sell all my gold, and I have a lot of it, and I'm moving it all the rest of it in Bitcoin. I made that decision this week and said, you know what? I did. Now, this is not just I ran the math. I did the astrological financial modeling, projected it out, and I said, okay, I'm not saying gold will not hold, but it will not be enough. So that's the decision I made. Now, I'm not saying other people should do it. This is not financial advice, folks. But I'm telling you that I've been doing Bitcoin since 2010, folks. Right? It was a dollar in 2011. It was $1 per Bitcoin.
Jeez, for those days again. Time machine. Right.
But you don't need to buy an entire Bitcoin. You can buy $10. You can put $10 a week, $20, whatever, 1% of your weekly income or monthly income. The point is we're running out of time. Normally I'd be like, okay, let's talk about the cryptocurrency revolution. And no. We're running out of time, folks. Like, you don't understand it. Your pension is not safe. Your 401k is not safe. None of this stuff is safe. Look, we're in this last phase of collapse. Empires go through 8 phases, and we're in that collapse phase. That collapse phase started when? It started exactly 2008, right? So We saw all the U.S. industry outsourcing to China, invasion. So if you go back, if you just say the last 20 years, 9/11, war on terror, outsourcing to China, invasion of Iraq, 2008 financial crisis, Occupy Wall Street, Snowden NSA revelations, right? Trump presidency, U.S.-China trade war, COVID pandemic, contested 2020 election, withdrawal, unconditional withdrawal from Afghanistan debacle. The list goes on. I can add more things.
That was a mess. But we had a question here. There's one of our members of the audience, no idea who this is, Ultraviolet 100, says Bitcoin is a CIA program intended to track and trace every monetary move you make. What do you say to that?
That's something that, first of all, shows the ignorance of that person. Anyone who's saying that has not done any study on Bitcoin. In fact, the code of Bitcoin is open source. It's open source. We actually know who created Bitcoin. This was revealed just recently. This all just came out.
I remember that.
Major federal lawsuit, a $22 billion lawsuit. So it was revealed. We absolutely know who was behind Bitcoin. Bitcoin can't be manipulated. It can't be regulated. It cannot be controlled by anyone. Bitcoin is the only true free market that is based on true price discovery. It's the only one out there. It's not a coin. It's a commodity. It's equivalent. It is digital gold. So anyone who says this is actually maybe someone listening to too much QAnon, which is actually, by the way, right? We've actually got information that QAnon.
Well, Q and Anon are two separate things.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at here is there's a lot of disinformation agents.
Mm-hmm.
Disinformation agents. And look, why would a government make Bitcoin part of its core reserve and also make it a currency? Right? I mean, look at El Salvador. How many nations? I don't have a prediction for this, so I'm still developing my predictions. I haven't actually started yet on my predictions for 2022, folks. So I just figured let's just talk about it today. But my official predictions will be ready for everybody in February when I do my global presentation. I'm going to do a 2-part global forecast for 2022 in February.
And we'll have you back on for that.
We're going to go all the way into the first quarter of 2023. But what I see happening is basically is the currency systems are going to go through a major upheaval, right? So what I'm trying to say essentially is that we're seeing these titanic forces unleashed. We're seeing it happen with the earthquakes and the volcanoes and the superstorms. We're going to see more of that unprecedented watershed events of historical significance. And going back to Bitcoin, I talked about this in my group, Jerry. I actually made a prediction that we were going to have this big eclipse in December. And the month of December, massive, big revelations, a number of them have already occurred. One of them being who created Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got that information. Who was behind it? Why it was developed? And with that information, we know now. We know a lot more now. Basically, the creator of Bitcoin wanted to create a world reserve currency, the people's world reserve currency.
Well, Kawasaki says it's the people's money and gold is God's money.
Correct. Absolutely correct. So we're going to have a world reserve currency, a digital world reserve currency. And this is something that, look, you have to keep in mind going into 2022 that Bitcoin is digital property at low frequency, digital gold at mid frequency, and digital energy at high frequency. And these are concepts that I explain in my group, to my crypto group.
Right.
And the scarcity of Bitcoin is the fact that it's the most secure, fastest growing network in the world. It's growing at 168% a year, Jerry. At this rate, it'll be 1 billion people by the end of this year. It'll be somewhere about 3.5 billion by 2023, 2024. By 2026, 2027, you will have a majority of the people on the planet who have an iPhone, will have a Bitcoin wallet on it, no matter where they live, in Tanzania, India, Tibet, they will have Bitcoin, and it cannot be manipulated. It will not be impacted at all by what is going to transpire. And people need to understand that. That is the most important thing. And by the way, Bitcoin, if you look at the chart of Bitcoin, the most dominant planet is Pluto. It's an extremely Plutonian currency. It can survive the Pluto strike.
Do you remember the name of the fellow who created Bitcoin? I don't remember his name. I remember reading it.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about that. You want to talk more about Bitcoin?
I'm just curious if you knew what his name was. I don't recall it. Someone asked over here on the chat, so I thought I would just ask and see if you remembered.
I remember.
Come back to it if you want to take some time.
Yeah, we could come back to it. I actually wanted to talk. I had some points I wanted to discuss about that.
Let's do it.
But I think what we need to understand with Bitcoin is Bitcoin is once you have the aha orange pill moment, you understand what Bitcoin is. What ends up happening, Jerry, and I've seen this now, I tell people about it, they look into it, they go, you know, there is something to this, but I'm not ready yet. Then they have the aha moment. And then they go, you know what, I'm going to throw 1,000 in. And then they see that 1,000 go to 6,000 in a very short amount of time. And, you know, there's volatility. And then 2 years later, they come back, and you know what? I'm going to just sell my bonds. I'm going to sell some of my silver and throw it in Bitcoin, see what happens. Then a year later after that, they say, you know what? I think I'm going to sell my bonds, or I'm going to sell this, or I'm going to sell that. When I sell my home, I'm going to take 10% of that money and throw in Bitcoin. You know, and then within 3-4 years, even less, they put it all in. They go, that's it. I'm done. I'm putting it into Bitcoin. And this is the trend I see coming in 2022. This will not just be the rich and powerful are moving all their money right now in Bitcoin, because they know what's really going on, Jerry. They know.
They do, of course.
But the people who are, I don't know, I'm staying, you know, because they don't know anybody. Most of the people who are skeptical are uninformed. They are uninformed. They're financially ignorant. When people go, no, I'm not financially, I understand inflation. When I ask them 2 or 3 questions, they can't answer it. Right? It's very clear they don't understand deflation, inflation, they don't understand economic forces, they don't understand market discovery, they don't understand the underpinnings of currency systems. They understand, they just don't. Not because they're not bright, not because that's not their area of focus. And for a long time, I didn't understand it until I was forced to understand it. But I'm just saying, if you understood a fraction of what I knew, just 10%, you would be like, William, I get it. What can I do? So I'm providing you the one-step solution for a lot of the problems. So because, remember, political instability, social instability, cultural instability, financial instability, all these versions of instability, underpinning of that is the currency. It's the currency.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a comment. Subscriptions and your comments cost nothing, but it really helps us out a lot. To hear the entire interview you were just listening to, and many, many other amazing interviews within our archives, please visit jerrywillsshow.com and become a member. Your membership supports our ongoing broadcasts. That's jerrywillsshow.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this program.